Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to the Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I don't know how good a morning it is for horse racing, but we delve in. We're a little late today because there was some breaking news. First of all, I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday morning. And I'll start out by wishing everybody a happy Mother's Day, certainly all the mothers out there. A happy Mother's Day. As I said, news out of the racing world, less than enthusiastic about. Going to be interesting to see how this plays out, and that's why we're a little late today, because this is breaking news. So breaking that there was kind of waiting for something to come out on Blood Horse or Racing Form, and I would think that would be momentarily, but it hasn't. But I'll update you if you haven't heard yet. I'll read a tweet from Matt Haggerty, who is the kind of the hard news guy for the Racing Form. He tweeted out just within the last 20 minutes or so, Bob Baffert has acknowledged that stewards have informed him that Derby winner Medina Spirit tested positive for a regulated medication, betamethasone, after his Derby win. Baffert says the horse was never administered the medication. And then Matt said his story is coming up on the Racing Form. So as I say, the Blood Horse and Racing Form and probably mainstream publications will have it as well. But this, you know, it's, I don't know if I want to say a pattern for Baffert, but certainly it's not the, you know, it is not a lone example. And it, for the Kentucky Derby winner, because it's just not a good look for the horse racing game. To have this happen, and Baffert was kind of doubling down, given this having happened to him before. And so, as I say, we will see how it plays out. There was a press conference. There was some of the press conference online in the next segment. As I say, this is all breaking, so we're just kind of trying to figure out where to parse out, because he talked about other things in the press conference. He's at Churchill Downs today, so we're going to parse out the 5 or 6 minutes where he addresses this in that press conference, and we'll show that in the next segment. So stay tuned for that. As I say, not super news for the racing game this morning, but we'll know more as this plays out and some of the news outlets get a chance to flesh it out a little bit. But on this morning show, otherwise, we'll do some recaps of last week's Derby's Oaks and Derby Day Stakes that I haven't gotten a chance to do yet. Normally, I would be in here on Sunday. Last Sunday, I was a little under the weather. Didn't get in to recap those. Yesterday, we had Steve Bick on. Usually, we'll have him on the day after and really kind of go through a lot of the stakes. Yesterday, we had him on and just kind of did Oaks and Derby and mentioned a couple of the other stakes. But I wanted to take a chance to look at these, because it was 2 days that will play into the various divisions the rest of the year. There were some nice results. So I wanted to at least pick and choose a few of the stakes from both Saturday and Friday and recap those. And I'm able to do that because yesterday across the country, it was a little bit light stakes-wise, except for Belmont Park. Great stakes day at Belmont. And at the end of the show, the last 20 minutes or so, we will be joined by Anthony Stabile, and we'll recap some of the stakes from Belmont yesterday, maybe hit on a couple ideas for today from Anthony. So all of that coming up on this edition of Racing Across America. And I said there was some great stakes action on Friday and Saturday at Churchill Downs supporting the Kentucky Derby. Let's take a look at the stretch run of one of those races. There were ding-dong battles all weekend long, Friday and Saturday. This was the ding-dongiest, if that is a word, in that it wound up in a dead heat. There was a lot of close finishes, no closer than the dead heat. Turf Classic, we will take a look at. I did not believe in Colonel Liam, but Colonel Liam gets it done here. Colonel Liam is going to be the number 3. Domestic Spending is the number 5. Smooth Like Straight runs, the 7 runs 3rd. But as I say, this comes down, you can see Domestic Spending coming up, and he's going to make it dead tight, so dead tight. It was a dead heat. They took a look for a long time. I was kind of going back and forth and watching the NBC broadcast, too, and they kept showing the replay. And Randy Moss, after about the third or fourth replay, said, you know, this might be a dead heat. And he nailed it. It was. But as I say, Colonel Liam, I haven't bought into Colonel Liam, and he's proven me wrong each time. Pegasus World Turf, he gets it done there. Then he goes down to Fairgrounds and wins the stake there. And dead heats for this one with a nice effort where just wouldn't let domestic spending go by. Although, you know, maybe another 2 yards domestic spending was by, but nose for the wire. They both wind up, that was, again, another one of the really nice finishes on the weekend. Both of these horses likely moving forward and being players in the division, certainly. I like Count Again. I had that one on top. That one ran fourth. And as I say, I just have not been convinced about Colonel Liam, and I didn't have domestic spending in my mix either, to my detriment, in a race where you could have pointed to five or six of them and said, eh, they have a chance. It was a nice addition of the Grade One Turf Classic, and as they say, the two horses, the top two finishers, and a number of the others, obviously, but certainly the top two finishers will come out of this race and be significant players in the division this year. Also wanted to show a race. We've shown this already. Took a look at it yesterday as well, but this was just such a nice race. I wanted to go back and take a look also at the Pat Day Mile and the result of Jackie's Warrior getting it done. I like Jackie's Warrior on Saturday. I thought the cutback would be beneficial to the one turn. This is a horse that we saw up here at Saratoga for Steve Asmussen at Saratoga, won the Saratoga Special to go 2 for 2 in the career, won the Hopeful to go 3 for 3 in the career, then went down to Belmont and won the Champagne at the one turn mile, which was the same trip as Saturday. Subsequently, Mile and 16th Breeders' Cup Juvenile, 4th, and the comeback effort in the Southwest was a 3rd. That was a little bit disappointing, but I thought, given what we saw early last year, I'm going to use Jackie's Warrior on Saturday, put that one on top, and I had Dream Shake underneath in the 2nd slot, so I wind up with the Cold Exacta here. But as we watch this, look up in the upper left-hand corner and look at these fractions. I mean, this is nuts. 21 and change, 43 and change, 107 and change, 120 and change. And then as we were talking yesterday with Steve Bick, we mentioned, you know, they kind of, that takes the starch out of you a little bit, and it got a little slower as they came that last furlong to complete the mile. But Jackie's Warrior just will not let Dream Shake go by despite those early fractions. And a nice $6.60 gets it done. As I said, I like the top two. You wound up with a $24 exacta. But Jackie's Warrior, you would have to think now the game plan is three-year-old sprint stakes. We'll see. They may pick their spots and try something. But it seems like they've kind of defined, given what we saw in the past couple of races at a mile and a 16th, and then the cutback to the one-turn mile Saturday where the horse rebounded, you would think these would be three-year-old sprints that we'll be looking at going forward for Jackie's Warrior. But it was a really nice effort. And there was some comment. We talked about it yesterday with Steve Bick. There was some comments about the buyer figure. It had to be a little low given the, you know, that looking at those early frags, that was a big performance. But the buyer number was based on the final time, and they did slow down in that final. And Andy Beyer was on with Steve, and it's interesting to hear, if you're a buyer person, to hear some of the, you know, the work that goes into coming up with the numbers. And you know, Andy Beyer was talking about horses that finished just behind and numbers they typically fire, and kind of figuring, you know, how to put that into the mix. And if you gave Jackie's Warrior a much higher number, you would be giving the third place horse a much higher number that would stick out in the PPs. And so there's a little bit of, yeah, I would say a little art and science to putting the numbers together, and it's interesting. And so the number was legit for Jack. It was a 91, I want to say. And so it was legit for the final mile time. But there was no getting around visually and just on the track. It was clearly a very nice performance and a nice rebound for Jackie's Warrior. Want to take a look at one more from Saturday, and that was the performance by Gamine, who continues to run very well. She's now 7-for-8 in the career. This is the Derby City Distaff, grade 1, 7 furlongs the trip. Becomes a little bit interesting at the end. Wisconsin, the number 2 horse, Gamine's the number 4. And she's out, again, setting nice fractions, 23, 46, 109 and change, and 121.50 for the final. And as I say, Wisconsin makes a little run here at her. So the margin winds up to be a length and a half as the 1-5 favorite, 240 on top. But Gamine now, as I say, 7-for-8 in the career with, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 grade ones on the resume. So pretty nice performance also by Gamine on the weekend. A filly and mare sprinter, that'll be her division, and she'll be tough to get by given what spots she winds up picking this year. Also wanted to take a look at some of the action from Friday. Wanted to go back and take a look at the 8 bells. And I wanted to look at that not only for the horse's performance, but again, I'll tip my cap to our colleague Mike Callahan. He had obligatory on top on our Capital OTB one sheet. And Brian Nadeau not only had it on top in the race, he had it as his best bet of the day on the one sheet. And so we'll look at the 8 bells from last Friday, and it will be number 7 obligatory, getting it done at 16-1, $35 price for, again, Brian Nadeau's best bet of the day and Mike Callahan's top pick in the race. And I will also note Mike Callahan put together that pick 5 bankroll team ticket last Friday, and this kicked it off. So that helped get Mike and the bankroll team to the finish line after this one kicked it off and some other nice prices came in. $9,400 split up amongst 10 people in the bankroll team. So 10 OTV patrons randomly selected for the team wind up each getting $940-some. But this one kicked it off, and again, it was a nice pick. And it was one of those, I didn't use obligatory, but it was one of those, when you looked back, it should have been in the mix. And it's one of those, just from a handicapping standpoint, it's good to look back and maybe take something away. This was a Bill Mott runner that broke the maiden in the second career start. Debuted in October at Belmont, ran 4th. Then laid off until February, came back, and the maiden breaker was clearly a much improved effort. And off of that, Bill Mott, who fairly conservative, sends the horse over to the Fairground Oaks, winds up 4th. Fairground Oaks, obviously, a 1 1/16. They tried the 8 bells and cut back to 7 furlongs. And just off the ambition and obviously the confidence they had in the horse to come off the maiden breaker in the second career start and try the Fairground Oaks for a trainer who, as I say, tends to be a little more conservative. Just on that and the cutback to the sprint distance, obligatory was certainly worth taking a look at and putting in the mix at the big price. So again, it's just one of those you look back and look at the scenario and maybe you move forward. And it wouldn't necessarily for you translate to, oh yeah, I'm going to make that my top pick. But there's enough there and enough to think about that, you know, in the future, maybe one that toss it in my mix on a scenario like that appearing again. Also wanted to take a look at She Dares the Devil winning the La Troyenne. We had Brad Cox on last Saturday morning, and Brad talked about She Dares the Devil a little bit, coming out of the win over Latruska. Latruska subsequently beats Monomoy Girl in the Apple Blot. Oh, and by the way, other kind of disappointing horse racing news, Monomoy Girl on the sidelines. They're hoping to have Monomoy Girl back for the latter portion of the year, but went to the sidelines. That was announced yesterday, I think it was, some muscle soreness. So Monomoy Girl on the sidelines. But Latruska comes back, and in that great stretch battle in the Apple Blossom gets Monomoy Girl. So She Dares the Devil coming out of that win, I thought, looked pretty good. I had her on top. She Dares the Devil here will be the number 2 horse. En Voutant, a nice runner for Ken McPeak, will wind up 2nd. But in the second start of the 4-year-old season, second win of the four-year-old season. And as I said earlier, these races will play in the various divisions. And so in that filly and mare division, She Dares the Devil now will be a notable player going forward. And finally, also wanted to take a look at the Ali Sheba. Again, talking about horses that will play in divisions as the year goes along. Just wanted to show the win by Maxfield. That was notable because Maxfield had disappointed in the big cap in his previous start. He had started his four-year-old campaign with two nice wins in the Tenacious and the Mineshaft at the Fairgrounds, went off as the favorite in the big cap and wound up a little bit of a disappointing third, but here he is winning last week at Churchill and the Ali Sheba, doing it pretty nicely. The chart margin there was 3.25, so again, Maxfield, good rebound after the, as I say, a little bit of a disappointing effort out in Southern California in the big cap, but that was a nice rebound to now be 3-for-4 in the four-year-old season so far. And again, a player now, obviously, to contend with in that handicap division. So again, just wanted to show some of those results, some of the nice performances from last weekend before we turn the page from Derby and set our sights on Preakness coming up in just under a week now, because as I said, those horses will clearly be players in their various divisions over the next few months and into the summer and whatnot. All right, there's a little recap. We'll preview as well. If I have time, I'll do a little handicapping in the next segment. But we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we have parsed out some of the Bob Baffert press conference from this morning. And again, if you didn't see the top of the show, I'll read it again. The Matt Hagerty tweet from this morning. Bob Baffert has acknowledged that stewards have informed him that Derby winner Medina Spirit tested positive for a regulated medication, betamethasone, after his Derby win. Baffert says the horse was never administered the medication. And as I noted at the top of the show, we kind of came out a few minutes late because we were checking the various sources to try to flesh the story out a little bit, and nothing was really up yet. The story was so hot off the presses, as it were. And so we will, again, take a break. We'll come back and show you a few minutes from the press conference held this morning at Churchill, where Bob Baffert addressed the issue a little bit. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. I said at the top of the show, a little bit of a disappointment as far as racing news today with, again, I'll read from the Matt Hagerty tweet. Bob Baffert has acknowledged that stewards have informed him that Derby winner Medina Spirit tested positive for a regulated medication, betamethasone, after his Derby win. Baffert says the horse was never administered the medication. As the day goes along, this will be fleshed out a little bit. Certainly at this point, the news was so new that there was nothing really certainly on the horse racing side of things, Blood Horse or the Daily Racing Form, but I would expect this to attract mainstream, unfortunately, attention as well. So you'll be able to find out more about it as the day goes along. On Twitter, the press conference, Bob Baffert was at Churchill to watch his horses work, his Preakness horses. And so he held a press conference this morning talking a little bit about the horses and also talking a little bit about this issue, obviously. And on Twitter, the Pollock Report put up the video feed of the press conference this morning. So we picked up a little bit of that, and we'll play that for you now. Bob Baffert, again, just really a few minutes ago on the backstretch at Churchill Downs, addressing this rather unfortunate issue.
About the Preakness horses. Concert tour, he worked really well. I don't know what they gave him, but does anybody know what the official time was?
100.40.
100.02. Yeah, he went out like three quarters gallop out strong, and he looked like he looked really well. He's been training really well here. He's been working well, and so I'm happy with the way he went. So he'll definitely be going to the Preakness, and Medina Spirit, we just gave him like a stiff, you know, little open gallop sort of, and we were happy with the way he went. Came out of the race really, really well. So, you know, they're both be going to the Preakness. Any more Preakness questions?
Banning tomorrow.
Yeah, they're going to be they're going to leave here tomorrow afternoon, so they'll get there about 4 a.m, maybe 3-4 a.m. Okay, yesterday I got a call from Jimmy Barnes. I was headed to the airport, and I got some horrible news. He said he had some horrible news for me, that he'd just been served by the Kentucky Race Commission that Medina Spirit, our Derby horse, had been tested positive for 21 picograms of betamethasone. And all I can tell you is that betamethasone, even though it's an allowed drug, therapeutic medication, we did not give it. My veterinarian, nobody here, we that matter of fact, Medina Spirit has never been treated with betamethasone. So I cannot believe that I'm here before you guys. I never thought I'd be here. Yesterday, I got the biggest gut punch in racing for something that I didn't do. And this is really, it's disturbing. It's an injustice to the horse. I feel like, you know, here you win a race and you're still not, to me, I don't know what's going on in racing right now, but there's something not right. And I don't feel embarrassed. I feel like I was wronged. And we're gonna do a complete, you know, our own investigation. We're gonna be transparent with the Racing Commission, like we've always been. We're gonna show them everything. One thing about it, in California, everything is documented every day, what the horses get. This horse was never treated with that, and he's a great horse. He doesn't deserve this. He ran a gallant race. And to me, I just feel, you know, like this last 18 months, what I've gone through, and it's like all of us right here. You just imagine yourselves going to work every day, and if they tested you every day for these levels, these contamination levels, and they told you if you tested positive, you were going to be fired. That's the way I feel. I do not feel safe to train. It's getting worse, and to me, you know, going forward, I mean, how do I enjoy, you know, to train? How do I, you know, move forward from this, knowing that something like this can happen? And it's a complete injustice. And but I'm gonna fight it tooth and nails, because this horse, you know, I owe it to the horse, I owe it to the owner, and I owe it to our industry. And our industry needs to step up. And we need to do a better job in racing. There's something wrong right now with what's going. I've been talking about it. Nothing seems to be going done about it. But these contamination levels, and I'm not a conspiracy therapist. I know no everybody's not out to get me, but there's definitely something wrong. Why is it happening? You know, to me, you know, there's problems in racing, but it's not Bob Baffert. And I just want to get that across to you guys. And Craig, you want anything to add to this, or you're fine? But we're gonna fight this. And I just feel it's just an injustice.
So Bob, at that level, is that a disqualification from the Derby? Is that the way they tell you? And then,
well, first of all, he's not disqualified yet. We have to go through the process. We have to do a DNA sample. Was it him? Something's not right here. Something's just not right. It's not a disqualification until the split sample comes. It's not official until the split sample comes, and that's part of the process. We haven't even got to that yet. Usually we wait for that before it, but I knew I want to get in front. I hate this leaking now. Everything leaks out. People knew about it before I did, and you know, that's very disturbing. But we still have to go through the process. He's still the Derby winner, but we have to go through that process.
You said 21 picograms. What is the level in Kentucky?
I don't even know.
Doesn't matter, because you said you didn't give it to him. So
no, we didn't. Well, that's one thing we didn't. We did not give the horse. He wasn't. Nobody here. He wasn't around it. So
it's
10. Is it 10?
10.
So so to me, I don't know. It's just, to me, I was totally shocked when I heard this news. It was just shocking, and it's just, you know, I'm trying to absorb it right now. I still can't believe that I'm talking about it. We should be joyful. I mean, we went through you win the most prestigious race in America, and the thing is about it, I'm the most scrutinized trainer, and I have millions of eyes on me. But you know what? I don't have a problem with that. And the last thing I want to do is do something that would jeopardize the greatest 2 minutes in sports. And I just want to get that out there that, you know, this is terrible, but we have to deal with it now.
Bob, this was from the post-race sample.
Yeah.
What is your suspicion of what went wrong?
You know what? I'm not going to speculate. I have no idea, Tim, where it came from. We don't know. We can't believe it's in there. That's something that we're just, the process has to start. We're going to investigate it thoroughly. And so that's all I can tell you on that.
What's the timetable for process?
I don't know. We really didn't. I talked to the stewards, and it's, it's the process. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Have you had conversation? You said with stewards, or was there any?
Yes, I talked to the stewards. I talked to the stewards. They came here, and I talked to the stewards yesterday, and they told me that they were going to contact once the owner. They wanted me to, they wanted to contact the owner, and he's in Saudi Arabia or wherever he is.
Are you afraid? Because what happened with Gamin last year? I mean, it's kind of like there's a big story when it happens, and then kind of when they clear you, it's not as big a story.
Well, Gamin was a different story because we did everything. We followed the rules and went extra 4 days, and still we're in trouble. We did treat her. This horse is not treated with this. And so that's the part that's the scary part. And it makes me, as a trainer, is this the life I have to live from now on? We have to worry about, you win a race, you have to worry a week later. I've never had to worry about worrying about the test. We win a race, never had to worry about it. And so I don't know what is going on with the regulators. Things are going on, but I'm just a lost word for him.
Bob, have you talked to other trainers, and do they feel the same way?
Oh yeah, definitely. We're sitting ducks basically, and it's getting worse. And this is something that has to be addressed by the industry.
Can you tell us what this drug, what is it used for when it is used?
It's a, it's an anti-inflammatory. So,
you'd use it in joint injections.
You have to talk to Ben. All right.
What's your plan for the investigation, Bob?
Well, I'm going to, Craig Robertson, my lawyer who's here, he's going to, he's going to restart the process and it just, whatever, there's a lot of things, we're going to pull hair. I demanded that the state pull hair from him to make sure if he's ever had betamethasone in his system, which he shouldn't, and DNA testing, make sure that's the right test. We had to jump through a lot of loops to get to the Derby. They do auto competition testing. He had that done on the 18th. That sample, we're going to have him look at that again. I mean, there's a lot of things, just a lot of things we're going to be doing.
About how long might it be the full result of this split sample?
They know, those things, you don't know.
Have you took some steps to try to address the perception that there's a problem in your barn? You hired out to bring people in. What changes have you seen in the way you do things?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is about this, Tim, is that we're aware of being extra careful, clean, wash your hands, everything. And for this to happen, especially in the biggest day, I mean, I'm so proud of the body of work that we've had, and this has really hurt. It hurts everybody. We should be enjoying ourselves. And then for something like this to happen, it was shocking. I still, and so this shouldn't have happened. So I don't know what, there's a problem somewhere. It didn't come from us. Something happened there. So we don't know what it is. And I'm not,
your procedures changed the way you.
Well, I mean, I always had really good procedures. Okay. And everything we did, like, was justified. I couldn't have prevented that. I mean, he ingested hay. I couldn't, the Arkansas, the lidocaine. We thought it was possible that Jimmy would have patches. And it turned out there was other horses contaminated in that day. And Jimmy didn't contaminate those horses. So it wasn't Jimmy. So we've always been upfront with everybody. We've been very transparent. Anything we do, Jameen, I was very transparent. Showed the vet records. We're going to show the vet records. We're going to, we're going to show them everything. And they're not going to see betamethasone. And that's the way we roll. And we're going to continue to roll that way.
Are you going to publicly release those vet records?
I release them to the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission or whoever. Yeah.
I've asked you this before. I'll ask this again. Do you feel like you're the subject of a witch hunt?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that. I just say it just seems odd that why am I the only one that has, the contamination? Why am I the only one? That just seems odd to me. Of all the races, we won three races that day and they all got tested and he's the only one. And so for some reason, I've always gone, first thing I asked, was there any other positive? And they've always told me no. And then later on, when you get down the road, you find, well, there was, so I don't know. There's a lot to deal with.
Do you worry about public perception?
Well, I'm worried about our sport. Our sport is not, we've taken a lot of hits for the sport and, this is not, this is pretty serious accusations here. And so, but we're going to get to the bottom of it and find out. We know we didn't do it. And that's the thing. We didn't have anything to do with it. I don't know how it got in his system. If it's in his system or was there a mistake or something, we're going to get to the bottom of it. We good?
Video clearly wasn't great there. I think somebody was doing it with their phone, but it was worth
hearing Bob Baffert just this morning, a little while ago, on the backstretch of Churchill, addressing the positive for Medina Spirit. Subsequently, while that was on, I looked. Matt Haggerty does now have an article up at the Racing Forum. And one notable thing in the article was Kentucky stewards, like those in other states, do not announce drug positives until a split sample has confirmed the result, a process which usually takes 3 to 4 weeks, if not longer. But given the rumors that were circulated on the backside over the past 24 hours, Baffert made the decision to go public. So I guess the stewards haven't actually made an official announcement yet. Bob Baffert was kind of getting ahead of it, given that the word had leaked out that there was a positive, but the split sample has not been confirmed yet. So, again, that's kind of notable. But there is an article by Matt Haggerty up in the Racing Forum. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, Anthony Stabile will take a look at some of the action yesterday at Belmont and maybe get a couple ideas for today from him if he has them and we have some time. So stay tuned. All of that right after this. Want to take advantage of everything Capital OTB has to offer? Become a Capital Bets account holder today. It's quick and easy. And now for the month of April, it's our new member sign-up bonus. Simply make a minimum deposit of $200, bet $400, and receive a $200 cash bonus deposited directly into your new account. That's $200 free money from Capital OTB. So sign up today and win more with Capital OTB.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Pimlico Racetrack in Baltimore, Maryland for the running of the Preakness, the second and richest jewel in racing's Triple Crown.
They talk about the Kentucky Derby. They talk about the Belmont. But here at the Preakness, there's nothing better.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. You see him on the NYRA pregame show. You listen to him on Horse Racing Radio Network Radio. It's our friend Anthony Stabile. Anthony, good morning.
What's happening, Seth?
Not too much. I'm curious. I mentioned a couple of your gigs, and typically when I'm in here doing the afternoon show, I will watch the pregame show at NYRA. And it seems like 3 or 4 weeks ago, you mentioned you had a Derby Day gig. I think it may be one of the casinos in Connecticut. So I'm curious if you had that gig. And I'm just curious because I'm wondering in year 2021, what was the attendance at a Derby event?
We were sold out. We were at Mohegan Sun. And when I say I was at Mohegan Sun, when I say sold out, it's a high roller. It's a fan event. Zach Montoya and the crew up there do an amazing job. And we probably had 500 people in the ballroom. Ordinarily, there's closer to 1,500, but because of COVID, we only took half the room, and it was socially distanced. Everybody essentially had their own 6-foot table, and that's how we social distanced. It went well. Needed Mandaloon for a big score. Mandaloon would have been nice.
You and me both, and I thought the entire stretch I was going to score.
Yeah, I mean, last weekend was the kind of weekend where if you buy a vowel at Wheel of Fortune, if they would have let me buy 10 feet, I probably could have won six figures between the Oaks and Derby pick three and double and stuff. But anyway, we had a great time, gave out some winners, made some money early, so the Derby would have been all gravy. But more importantly, everybody had fun, everybody stayed safe. It was great seeing the fans at Oaks and Derby. It was even better getting back here Sunday and seeing all the fans waiting. When we pulled up to Belmont, there were half a dozen fans waiting to get in. I got back pretty early. I got back around 10 o'clock. It was great seeing people actually waiting to get into Belmont Park.
Yeah.
So it's good. You know, I think we're pointing in the right direction. And for me, you know, it's baseball and horse racing. Those are the only two sports I really care about. And obviously racing supersedes anything. Just having the fans back and seeing everybody having fun down at Oaks and Derby was a real treat.
Yeah, here at the Clubhouse Racebook in Albany, we had a pretty good crowd. Again, with the protocols and whatnot, but it was nice to see a nice crowd there. It was nice. You got the excitement coming through even the TV screen with the numbers down at Churchill. And I'm hoping they maybe set the stage for some other tracks to look at the template of Churchill on Derby Day and make things work. And we're keeping our fingers crossed as far as Saratoga here. So it's nice to see the fans down at Belmont as well. And yesterday at Belmont, they had a great stakes card to look at. I wanted to go over some of those stakes and get your thoughts. And we will start at the end of the day with the Man of War. And again, I think it's a day where the results will play into the various divisions. And certainly in the turf division, we had a couple of nice performers. Channel Cat, 6 years old, hadn't won since Saratoga in 2019, so it had been a while since the horse had seen the winner's circle, but Channel Cat, the number five, gets it done. But for me, more notably, was Gufo, who I had down in my mix a little bit. I was just a little bit concerned about, you know, seasonal debut and stepping in against older for the first time, but we're watching the stretch run here. Gufo's the number eight. This is a pretty good second-place finish to start the four-year-old season. He's going to be a nice player in the division. Your thoughts on the Man of War?
Andy and I were talking on Talking Horses yesterday about how there are some nice four-year-olds this year, led by Domestic Spending, of course. Excited to see a horse like Gufo come back. That was a great effort yesterday. I'll tell you another horse I'm excited for. I liked yesterday, and maybe with an outside trip, things are a little different, and that was Moon Over Miami, who ran a big race as well. He saved ground. But I think those are 3-4-year-olds that we could look forward to. Listen, it's amazing what happens when horses use their speed, right? 22 and change, 47 and change. Channel Cat fights with Field Pass, puts them away, holds off the closers. You know, if that's not a sign that being aggressive is a good thing, I don't know what is. And you had mentioned he hadn't won in close to 2 years. You know, when he uses his speed, he's a good horse. Jack Sisterson, by the way, how about the run that Jack Sisterson and Calumet have been on? The guy hadn't won a grade one up until last year when he took down the race. Why am I saying this? Personal Ensign at Saratoga. And now he's won 3 grade ones with 3 different horses, 3 different types of horse, True Timber and the Cigar, of course, Vexatious in that race in Saratoga, and then now with Channel Cat on the turf. Jack Sisterson and his team do a fantastic job. Channel Cat was good yesterday, going fast early and holding off the closers late, but I am looking forward to Gufo, looking forward to Moon Over Miami, and of course Domestic Spending with a huge effort last week in the Turf Classic prior to the Kentucky Derby. I think we have a nice little for a division that was a little weak last year. Bricks and Mortar retired, and it didn't really leave us with a deep, older horse division on the turf. I think these 3 4-year-olds can lead the way for a pretty nice season.
Yeah, certainly the result yesterday bodes well for that. Speaking of 3-year-olds, we'll go back and take a look at the Peter Pan. I use Nova Rags on top, but I handicapped, and we had a stakes preview show that we taped before the risk-taking news came out. I was hoping to get a little value with Nova Rags. That was probably not going to happen to begin with, but certainly not when risk-taking came out. And as I looked at the race then subsequently, I thought, you know what, Promise Keeper looks pretty good in here now. And that's the way it played out on track. Promise Keeper, as we watch the stretch run, will be the number 3 horse. Number 2, Nova Rags, kind of threatens, as we see here, making a move where I thought, man, maybe I was right. But then Promise Keeper pulls away. The chart margin winds up to be 2.25. Todd Pletcher has now mentioned maybe the Belmont will be in the sights here. But it seems like off the past couple of starts, Promise Keeper, now a 3-year-old, that we're going to have to watch as we continue into the summertime.
Yeah, I didn't love him yesterday. The race without the Lasix in the Tampa Bay, down at Tampa, bothered me a lot. It proved it didn't matter that it was truer to the race he ran at Keeneland last time out. That was a good effort for him yesterday. I don't know if Nova Rex wants to go that far. Overtook. He didn't get as fast a pace as he got in his maiden win. He came with a little bit of a late run. I don't think this Peter Pan is going to go down in the annals of time as one of the best Peter Pans we've ever seen. But he ran well yesterday. And, yeah, you know, why not the Belmont? This horse looks like he's going to eat up plenty of ground. And, You know, I'll tell you, Todd, it sure looks like Todd has a lot of horses pointed for the test of the champion. You'd have to think this horse overtook, kept on, you know, coming along yesterday and kept on making up ground. You'd have to think he would be pointed for that. I know Shadwell has mentioned the filly, Malapat, the Oaks winner, would be a horse. And I think a lot of us feel like she could be a Belmont Stakes type of horse. Known Agenda always looked like a kind of horse that was going to go a long distance of ground. Bourbon That Comes from the Moon. You know, so it looks like Todd could have four or five in the Belmont if he wants after yesterday's result.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. This was not a stellar addition. And the Peter Pan is usually one of those races with maybe some late developers or horses who had a hiccup and are looking to rebound. And then it produces two or three or four horses that are three-year-olds to watch. I don't know whether that's the case other than Promise Keeper. I thought there was enough there yesterday that he fits into that mold of a horse to you know, a three-year-old to watch going into the summertime. Let's go to the Vagrancy a little bit earlier. These are fillies and mares going 6.5 furlongs. I went with Pacific Gale, but we're not going to watch the start here. We're going to watch the stretch run. Pacific Gale was, you know, up against it after the poor start and kind of, you know, made a little bit of a move that made you think, oh, maybe she'll overcome that. But it was just a little too much to overcome. We're going to watch the number three, Victim of Love, get it done over Sadie Lady, who will just catch Pacific Gale for the second spot. But Victim of Love looking pretty good coming in from the Penn National base for Todd Beatty. Hasn't really raced much at Penn National. You know, he's got a good stakes quality horse and winds up with a nice grade three yesterday. She looked good.
Yeah, now won both the last two renewals of the Vagrancy. I liked the winner a lot yesterday. I thought she would do exactly what she did and sit up off of Sadie Lady. Sadie Lady ran well. Pacific Gale did not get off to the best start. Apparently, she had been training really well down in Florida. Another exercise rider had been getting on her and kind of, she had some antics in the morning, kind of calmed down. Exercise rider didn't travel to New York. Antics kind of came back. It showed yesterday she did not break well. She kind of got herself in a jackpot going down the backside in between horses. And I think the winner was best. I do believe the winner was best. I'm not sure if maybe things are different with Pacific Gale, but the winner was very logical to me because I did not trust Sadie Lady's class. She ran really well. Now she's stakes placed in a graded event. And, you know, sometimes they run on the track the way they draw up on paper. So that was actually a good result for me yesterday. I thought she ran well. And we'll see what she does going forward. You know, she's probably not a horse that you're going to want to really step up in class too much. Yeah. But there are an awful lot of good grade threes and a lot of money available for these filly and mare sprinters. One of the things the game has changed a lot the last 10 or 12 years is that it's very lucrative out there for a good filly sprinter. She can knock down a lot of money and win some nice races this year without taking on the heavy hitters. And that's probably the route I would go with her, but she's now a two-time grade three winner.
They did take the shot with the grade one Ballerina last year and ran third behind Serengeti Empress.
Yeah.
Interested to see if that'll be the game plan again, but we'll keep our eyes on that one. A little bit earlier, the Bogey on the grass. I had the top two flip-flopped. I thought Lamista was a little bit interesting. I saw the pregame show yesterday, and Andy thought the field in that Killboy Estate, the win in Europe a couple starts back, was kind of weak. The second place finisher was a stakes winner. I had replayed that on our stakes preview. I thought that was an okay win, and I kind of went back to that race. So in the United States debut, I thought Lamista was going to be tough, but it turns out to be Harvey's Little Goyle. As I say, I had those two flip-flopped in my picks, but Harvey's Little Goyle wins by half a length. I thought it was a nice late run from Lamista. Maybe just kind of got into gear a little bit late, and as we watch the replay here, she's the number two and kind of spins her wheels a little bit and then kind of gets going, but it's just too late to get it done. Harvey's Little Goyle, nice winner in the Bogey.
Yeah, top two fillies are okay. Harvey's Little Goyle, so dangerous. She showed you yesterday a mile and a 16th on a turf, and I'll tell you what, they came home a good clip. I would not be surprised now if Bill Mott cuts her back for the Just a Game in 4 weeks. That's probably what I would do, but you have so many options with her. She's won from a mile and a 16th. She's actually won from a mile on the dirt to a mile and 5/16 on the turf. or at the very least run well. There's so many options with this filly, and it's great to have. And she's in the best hand for a filly with her versatility. Boy, Bill could have a real fun time with her the next 5 or 6 months and getting her to whatever Breeders' Cup race he feels. I got to think at some point she goes back to the dirt, but after that effort yesterday, you know, with her tactical speed, I would be thinking about the just a game, sitting just off the pace and making one run, or, you know, if there's no pace in there, just putting her on the lead. Good effort from both. I thought Lemister ran well. I'm going to give you a horse, and this is, you know, I'm kind of giving you ice in the winter here. Joel Rosario won 4 races yesterday, and perhaps one of the smartest things he did was give Civil Union the ride he gave her, knowing she probably needed the race, knowing that of the 4 fillies they were betting in there, she was most compromised by the lack of distance. He got her into the game. He made that little middle move with her. She flattened out. I would not be disappointed if I owned or trained her. I'd be disappointed if I bet on her yesterday. But I'll tell you this. I want to bet her stretching out next time.
Yeah, I like it. One to put in the stable mail, because certainly that will darken the form and juice the odds up a little bit. Finally, let's look at what kicked off the stakes action, the Run Happy Grade 3 event. And this was just fun to see seasonal return of Frenzy Fire and a seasonal return that was successful. Frenzy Fire went off at 4-5, beat a number 4 horse in here. Chateau, the logical contender at 7-5, winds up second. But Kelly Breen keeps the Belmont train rolling for Frenzy Fire.
I don't have the PPs in front of me. I do know, though, he's won graded stakes. He won the Champagne at 2. He won the Dwyer at 3. He won the True North at 5, and he now won the Run Happy at 6. That's a graded stakes win at Belmont Park 4 of the last 5 years. I'm sure he won a race or two at Belmont in the 4-year-old year as well. He is just such a cool horse. Glad to see him win yesterday. Happy to see the connections of Chateau. I'm glad he took his form out off of Aqueduct. I know it was only a 5-horse field, but he kind of showed that he wasn't just a one-hit wonder in the winter at Aqueduct this winter. And I thought he ran well to be second yesterday. But when you run into an old class horse like Frenzy Fire, it's just so tough to beat. I don't think he's just a Belmont horse. He's won everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he's won from 6 to a mile. He's just such a cool horse. And to overcome what he's been faced with off the track, you know, changing barns from Jason Service to Kelly Breen, I think it's just a testament to how good he is and how solid he is.
I'm just looking in that season. He won the Run Happy in 2019. So there you go. And I heard you mentioning yesterday 4-star Dave and his wins up at Saratoga, the Sultan of Saratoga. And as you said that, I'm thinking Sultan of Saratoga. How about Bambino of Belmont?
He's good. He's a fun horse too. He's really good. Kelly has done, and you know, we've seen some horses leave that service barn and really fall apart. Not Frenzy Fire. He's such a cool horse.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he'll be fun to watch as the year progresses as well. Anthony, got a couple minutes left, but let's get a couple ideas for this Sunday afternoon. We were talking before we went on the air, and we'll take a look at races 6 and 8. Nice full field in the 6th race. State bred allowance non-winners of 1 types going 7 furlongs. I went with Brilliant Brooks over Winner's Laugh. I thought Brilliant Brooks just comes in kind of good form, moving in the right direction for Robitross. Irod Ortiz hops on board. What are your thoughts on the 6th?
I think that Winner's Laugh is going to be awfully tough. The horse I want to mess around with a little bit is the 5 Reggae Music Man, first time Pat Reynolds. Pat does an amazing job. All the horses he gets on the trainer changes run well. This horse has been training bullets over the training track here at Belmont Park since the move. This horse has won race on a fast track, and he won by over 6 lengths. He's going to have to get faster, but I think this horse has a little bit of upside today. He's 20-1 one in line. So I'm going to mess around with him a little bit. I think Winner's Laugh will be tough. Yeah, Brilliant Brooks can win. It's a fun race, I think, even though I think the favorite's going to be tough. If you can get a horse like Reggae Music Man in the try, you can make some money. Chocolat's been good in his 2 starts. He'll get a fast track for the first time. But Winner's Laugh and Reggae Music Man, who I'm keen off of in race 6.
Yeah, I like it. And let's take a look at the feature today, the Gold Fever. $100,000 up for grabs, 6 furlongs the trip. I went with Roderick on top over Candyman Rocket. I like that performance by Candyman Rocket and the same Sam Davis. And then just 2 head scratchers. I mean, real head scratchers that even seem to be baffling Bill Mott. So I'm really intrigued to see what Candyman Rocket does on the cutback this afternoon. What are your thoughts on the Gold Fever?
I like Candyman Rocket over Roderick. I flipped him around, although I wouldn't be surprised if Roderick beat him. I think Candyman Rocket probably has more upside than Roderick does. I'm curious to see what happens. I like the 247 and change works. Those horses ordinarily work fast, so when they do, it opens my eyes a little bit. I think he's going to rebound today on the cutback.
Yeah, as I say, I'm really intrigued to see what he does this afternoon. He just makes a fun storyline in that race. Anthony, as always, we appreciate your taking the time. We'll tune in a little bit later. Watch you on the pregame. As I say, folks can also catch you Horse Racing Radio Network as well. So, as I say, appreciate the visit and you're taking the time. Good luck this afternoon. We'll talk again.
You got it, Seth. Good luck, everyone. Have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Appreciate it. Anthony Stabile from the New York Racing Association wrapping it up for this edition of Racing Across America. And again, the breaking news earlier this morning, Bob Baffert with the positive test from Medina Spirit. We showed a little bit of the press conference. If you go online, if you missed it, you can go online. You can probably catch that at various places, Twitter, and I'm sure it'll be up on YouTube and other places. But at this point now, some of the articles are starting to come out to flesh things out a little bit. When we first came on the air, even the major publications, the Racing Form and the Blood Horse, hadn't really caught up to the story yet. But subsequently, while we were on the air, Matt Haggerty at least has come out with an article in the Racing Form. So you can read more about it. And unfortunately, there'll probably be some mainstream coverage of it as well. It's not a wonderful story, certainly, for horse racing, unfortunately. But we'll see how it unfolds and plays out over the next 24 to 48 hours, certainly, and beyond. All right. I'm going to wrap it up for Racing Across America for a Sunday morning. Thanks to our friend Anthony Stabile for jumping on board. Thanks to you for tuning in. Don't forget, this afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook, it's promotion day. Play the board and match bet here at the Clubhouse Racebook every Sunday in May. You can swing on by 711 Central Avenue in Albany and enjoy the racing action and maybe have a little extra fun with the Play the Board handicapping contest and the match bet promotion as well. Promotions have been, I will continue to say, and I'm looking, I had my, oh, here we go. My kind of calendar of events. Oh, that's the stakes calendar. But there are a couple of promotions coming up on this week as well, and a new one. I think it's called the Belmont Nine, where we'll have a team and we'll have some win bets during the day that maybe we'll put some money in people's accounts, because we're on a little bit of a roll. I will, as we wind up our weekend programming, I'll say once more, because I've been talking about it all week long. Oaks Day, our colleague Mike Callahan put together a pick five ticket for a bankroll team. And on Oaks Day, started with the $35 obligatory and ran the table with a ticket that then in the last race, his best price, I think he was four deep in the last race, and his best price makes a nice late run and gets up and gets it done. So Mike's ticket paid $9,400 and some. So the bankroll team members each walked away with $940 of free money. Derby Day, we had the two Derby syndicates. The first one was so popular that Capital OTB offered a second one. That one filled up as well. And between the two syndicates, they collected over $20,000 on Derby Day. So everybody got a few hundred dollars in their account on that as well. I had the pick four bankroll on Thursday, and we popped that up to $450, $454, I think. So everybody got $45. There was 10 players that were randomly selected. There's another syndicate coming up. The Preakness Syndicate is closed. That had opened up a couple of days ago. But the Preakness Syndicate, we're going to be rooting for them next Saturday to kind of keep the streak going. And as I say, there are a couple other fun promotions. We're adding the win bet promotion, I think, kicks off this week. I think it'll be alternating this month with the pick four bankrolls on Thursday. So we'll keep you updated. Don't forget to participate in the promotions and events. You have to be a Capital Bets account holder. If you're not already, take advantage of the sign-up bonus and get yourself a Capital OTB bet account. That allows you to play online or with your mobile device. If you come into the branches, you can type your number into the machines and play off your account that way. It's a lot of fun, and there are a lot of bells and whistles as well, free pass performances and other things that you can take advantage of with a Capital OTB bet account. To sign up, go to capitalotb.com. I will be back in maybe an hour and a half or so as we'll kick things off on a Sunday afternoon OTB Live. Little Churchill, little Belmont, little Pimlico today as well on my agenda, but there'll be other tracks you can enjoy as well. As I say, be back in about an hour and a half for that. Thank you for tuning in. Always appreciate it. And once again, I will wish all the mothers out there a happy Mother's Day and enjoy it. If you're a mother that is a horse player, I hope you're cashing tickets today because that's what it is all about on Mother's Day, to put a smile on the face. So, again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Wrapping it up for a Sunday edition of Racing Across America, I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us again. We'll see you in about an hour and a half for OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.